We ready?
Oh, yeah.
Time to get this party started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
You are now on the clock with Matt Geiger on Ignotainment Media Network.
This is the You're on the Clock podcast on Ignotainment Media Network. My name is Matt Geiger. Joining me today is not Iron Mike. Instead, we have a special guest host, and his name is... I'm just kidding. Iron Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. That was brutal.
That was hilarious. On today's episode, we're going to recap our picks from last week. We're going to go over some injuries and notes. We are going to talk about three winners and losers, and we're going to introduce a new segment called You're Fucking Done, Son. And we'll talk about that a little later. Right off the bat, let's get into the injuries and news. Quarterback Jay Cutler from the Chicago Bears has a strained hamstring. He will be out at least 2 weeks, and Jimmy Clausen will take his role. Dallas quarterback Tony Romo has a fractured clavicle. He wasn't placed on the PUP, so he can return at any time.
They're going to put him on the IR designated for return.
Are they?
They are.
Yeah. Okay. That means that Brandon Whedon, oof.
They're bringing in
three or four quarterbacks
Christian
for workouts.
Ponder and...
Josh Johnson. That was one of the names that I saw.
That was one of the names, but that's not one of the names that Dallas reported.
Oh.
There was a third guy.
Yeah, I know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees has a bruised rotator cuff. He should miss some time. Who's the backup there? Ryan Griffin?
No, it's Luke McCown.
He's got those commercials.
Yeah.
All right. Green Bay running back Eddie Lacy is day-to-day with an ankle injury. He says he hopes to play. He should be practicing by Thursday. In last night's action, shutdown corner, Vontae Davis suffered a concussion. He's going to have to hit the protocol. Same thing with Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie from the New York Giants. Running back Lamar Miller from Miami downplayed his ankle injury, which is something that Iron Mike noticed anytime he was watching the Dolphins. He said that pretty much anytime the Dolphins game got switched over, that who was carrying the ball?
Damian Williams, yep.
Keep an eye out on that. I know he's probably a higher pick for some guys in fantasy football, so you want to keep an eye out on that.
Matt Flynn was the other guy the Cowboys were going to bring in on Tuesday.
All right. Eric Decker, wide receiver.
Really, dude?
I gotta turn my notifications off.
My phone is on silent on the other side of the house, and your phone is right there, not on silent.
Now it's on the other side of the house. Wide receiver Eric Decker of the New York Jets has a PCL injury. He's scheduled to have an MRI today on Tuesday, which is when we're recording. He hopes it's nothing serious that would require surgery. Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Kiko Alonso has a partially torn ACL. He's going to try to get a second opinion. Hopefully, he won't miss too much time. He's a big part of that defense. And then we're going to jump to some news. New York Giants cut wide receiver Preston Parker, which I know a lot of Giants fans are happy about because he is awful. And he dropped a potential game-changing catch in the fourth quarter on Sunday. Miami Dolphins defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh was reported to have been freelancing on defense. Mike, what's your take on that? Because
for those who don't know what freelancing on defense means, it means that he's not doing what he's supposed to do.
He's not running the play.
He's doing whatever he wants to do, which is a concern because he might not know the playbook.
I was thinking that, but I'm also thinking it's just they're not calling plays that he thinks are utilizing his full potential.
I don't think that he should be thinking.
No, he should just be running the play. I totally agree with you. That's
when he thinks, he steps on people. He kicks people.
That's true. And we talked about that last week if you want to go into that. Philadelphia head coach Chip Kelly was asked in the press conference whether or not he was going to switch his personnel. He said he's not. He's going to stick with the offensive personnel that he has on the field. And I think he's dumb because his guards played so bad. Iron Mike could have played offensive guard better than the two guys that they had on the field on Sunday.
I have over at Tab Ramos.
All right, so that's going to do it for the news and injuries.
I just think that as the years keep on going by with Chip Kelly, that team is getting worse and worse with his own personnel coming in. He's got to turn things around real fast if he wants success in Philadelphia. Last week they had a good year, but they missed the playoffs. His first year they made the playoffs, right? That was with a bunch of Andy Reid's guys. Now most of Andy Reid's guys are gone.
Yeah, because he shipped them out.
I know. And now they're losing.
He shipped out two of his best offensive linemen and didn't do anything to replace them.
Kelsey's gone, right?
Yeah, and Harriman's.
And Harriman's gone.
And those are the two guys that would have been in those positions.
Yep.
So Chip Kelly thinks he knows what he's doing, but it's slowly starting to crumble on him. It's still too early. It's week two, but it doesn't look good right now, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
It's harder to recruit grown men and to motivate grown men
than it is
to motivate college students and, you know, younger men. These guys, all they care about is money. They don't, you know, they got their paydays already. You know, unless he continues to bring in guys from college every year, young players looking for a payday, I don't think it's going to work. You know, a lot of guys have come from college and not had success.
All right, so what are we doing now? We're going to recap our week two picks.
Unless you want to go into the new segment first.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's introduce the new segment. So, since the 12-team format of the playoffs was introduced, 13.75% of teams that started off 0-2 have made it into the playoffs. Right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 0-2 teams.
Four of those nine made the playoffs last year.
And those four are Baltimore, Indianapolis, Detroit, and Seattle. This segment is called "You're Fucking Done, Son." And what we're going to do is we're going to go through these teams and we're going to decide whether or not any of these teams still have a shot at making the playoffs. And if they do, we're going to tell you why we think they do. And if they don't, then they're fucking done. So let's start it off. Mike, who's the first team?
First team's those guys, the Baltimore Ravens.
We're actually going to talk about them today. I don't think they have a chance, but if there's a team on the cusp, I would say it's them.
Yeah, you have to remember, there's a few guys in their offense that are hurt right now. You know, their team's banged up. You know, both sides of the ball.
Yeah, definitely.
If they can get Rashad Perryman in and he can make an immediate impact, you know, downfield, that would be great for Baltimore because that's something that they're missing.
I think with an 0-2 start, they might be too deep.
Especially when Cincinnati and Pittsburgh's 2-0.
No, Pittsburgh's 1-1.
Are they?
Oh, yes, yeah, they lost to New England.
Yeah, okay. All right, never mind.
Well, but then also, Cleveland still has questions at quarterback, but they didn't look that bad this week. So, you know, it's gonna be a tough...
They didn't look bad, but they were playing Tennessee.
It's going to be a tough mountain to climb for Baltimore. I don't see it happening. If there's going to be two teams making the playoffs from this division, it's going to be Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
No, there will be three. They'll make it.
Listen, I think they're fucking done, son. How do you feel about that?
I beg to differ.
Well, you predicted that they would. I'm going to stick to it.
They're going to make the
playoffs. So we're split there. Next, we turn to the Houston Texans. I don't think there's any chance.
I don't either. I mean, until Arian Foster comes back, I don't think they win a game. And that could be, you know, a few more weeks. There was reports on maybe him returning in week three, and Bill O'Brien put that to rest.
Yeah, I mean, he's still listed as day-to-day. There is a chance that he could play in week three.
He started practicing last week.
I wouldn't expect them to rush him until after their bye.
So, Houston Texans, sorry, but...
Well, I'll put it to you. All right, so they play Tampa Bay next week, which might have looked like a walkthrough last week, but... They looked impressive. They beat the New Orleans Saints.
I think that when you're throwing the ball as many times as they did last week, I think they threw it over 40 times.
Right. No, I think they threw it 53 times.
Which is over 40.
Exactly. So they played Tampa Bay in week 3, Atlanta week 4, Indy week 5. I think they potentially hold him one more game and try to bring him back for Atlanta. But they have a tough schedule. I don't think they make the playoffs.
They're in Indy's division.
Right. So Indy,
their only chance to make the playoffs is winning the division.
And we're going to talk about Indy next. So I don't think Houston makes it. You're fucking done, son. And now we go to the Indianapolis Colts, who had a shit show of a showing last night.
Yeah, they looked pretty bad on both sides of
Andrew Luck turned the ball over four times. Frank Gore fumbled. The defense looked depleted. It was depleted. And Vontae Davis comes out of the game, and then there's literally nobody on the field that could cover a receiver. They made Ryan Fitzpatrick look like old Peyton Manning.
Well, going into the game, they were down three of their top four corners. And then Vontae Davis goes down.
With a concussion.
And they were able to, you know, throw the ball to Brandon Marshall more, which is something that they tried doing while Davis was on him.
Right, and while Davis was covering Marshall, he had two catches for 47 yards.
But Eric Decker on the other side was just amazing.
Right, and then once Davis came out of the game, they got absolutely lit up. Listen, Indy's going to win this division, so they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think out of these nine teams that they have the best shot of overcoming that 14% chance of making the playoffs.
Absolutely. And
because I think they're going to win the division.
It's just because of the division schedule.
They have a weak division, so they'll make it in there.
The next team stands no chance.
I wouldn't say that. I still think they're going to win a division.
The New York Football Giants.
Who's in first place in that division?
Washington?
Dallas.
Oh, Dallas is what, 2-0?
Dallas is 2-0, and they just lost Tony Romo. Week one, they lost Dez Bryant. They still don't have a couple guys on the other side of the ball.
I agree with that. Everything in the NFC East is still up for grabs.
I don't think that the Cowboys looked good, really.
I mean, they really haven't.
Philly looked really bad. Again, they struggled to run the ball. I want to say DeMarco Murray finished with 13 carries for 2 yards.
Yeah, but he also leads the league in yards after contact behind the line of scrimmage.
That's a great stat. Great stat.
Listen, so the New York Giants schedule, they play this Thursday against Washington, which if you're listening to now will be probably a few hours from when you're listening.
I hope so.
They then play Buffalo, San Fran, Philly, Dallas, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, New England. So there are some games that they could win. There are games that they are going to lose. I don't see it. Iron Mike still thinks that they have the potential to win the division and make the playoffs. But when you're playing, I see Buffalo as a loss. Philly and Dallas are always going to be competitive games. New Orleans and Tampa Bay are competitive games. New England's a loss. Then they play Washington. Then they play the Jets, Miami, Carolina, Minnesota. And they close out in Philly. If they finish this season 8-8, then I think that's a win for them considering how depleted this roster is with their injuries. And one of the injuries we didn't talk about was Eric Flowers. He's day-to-day with an ankle injury, and they're not rushing him back. He's the cornerstone for their offensive line. He's a young, talented guy that they don't want to rush back. They're going to have problems.
The Giants have started bad before and still made the playoffs. 2013, they were 4-6, and they ended up making the playoffs. And then there was another time. There was an 0-6 start, and they made the playoffs.
Jeez.
So there's still a chance.
Mike's not ruling them out. I think they're done. We're going to stay in the NFC East with the Philadelphia Eagles, who don't look good at all.
No, they look terrible.
They have no chemistry on offense. They have no tempo. They can't figure out how to establish the run, and Bradford just doesn't look comfortable in this offense right now.
He's not throwing the ball downfield, which is something that this offense needs since you can't run the ball.
Right. We had a stat from last week. I think in week one, he only had 5 passes that traveled 9 or more yards in the air. So, you know, Jordan Matthews is having these big games, but it's coming off of short passes.
He's dropping a lot of balls,
yeah,
too.
They need to open this offense up. They need to figure out what's going to work. Otherwise, they're done.
I think that they need to, you know, a lot of teams in the NFL run the ball and open up a passing game with the running game. And they need to do the exact opposite. They need to pass the ball downfield and open up a running game.
I definitely agree with that. Listen, you brought in DeMarco Murray and you're giving him the big bucks. And Nick Foles has more rushing yards than DeMarco Murray does. So tell me what's wrong with that.
there's a lot of quarterbacks that have more rushing yards than DeMarco Murray at this point.
Looking forward on Philly's schedule, I'm not going to read it all off, but it does get favorable for them. If they don't win this division, I could see them grabbing a wild card based on the schedule that they have left. So I'm not ruling them totally out yet.
No, I still think that the offense has a chance to be very explosive, even if Bradford, you know, has been terrible and can't get down the field so far this year. But, I mean, there's a chance we see Mark Sanchez in a few weeks, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. But, so, yeah, we're gonna keep Philly eligible.
They're going to be on the brink.
We're going to keep them eligible. Yeah. What's the next team?
Detroit Lions are next.
And Detroit, I don't know what they're doing. In their loss to Minnesota, Matthew Stafford led the team in rushing. Why not give the ball to Amir Abdullah?
Amir Abdullah didn't get many touches this game. I think that has to do with the size of the Minnesota Vikings defensive line. They're kind of big.
Listen, I'm just going to say it now, and we're going to move on. You're fucking done, son.
Yeah, I think they're done, too, in that division. Green Bay's got it locked up.
And while we're staying in this division, Chicago's fucking done, too.
Chicago's done.
I didn't think they standed a chance with Cutler in at quarterback, and then you put in Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah, I mean,
the Geico caveman.
We'll see how long Clausen plays for, but I mean, at this point, Clausen's an upgrade from
Jay Cutler.
From Jay Cutler.
I don't think so.
He's been playing bad.
He wasn't even good at Notre Dame.
He's been playing bad.
All right, Chicago, you're fucking done, son. What's next?
New Orleans Saints.
All right, the New Orleans Saints. I mean, they got walked on by Tampa Bay.
Yeah, pretty much. I want to say the final score made it look a lot closer than it was. Tampa Bay won by 7, but Tampa Bay had control of this game most of the game. The Saints put up 12 points in the fourth quarter to Tampa Bay's 3 points. So going into the fourth quarter, it was 7-23. You know, they totally had control of this game.
Right. And so now here's the thing. I can't rule out the Saints from making a push for the playoffs just because of the division they're playing in. This division has had division winners with less than 500 records make the playoffs. And you know, even like last year, Carolina finishes half a game above 500 because of a tie. They make the playoffs and they win a playoff game at home. Atlanta's 2-0, Carolina's 2-0, but out of all the 2-0 teams, I'd be most concerned that Carolina doesn't make the playoffs. And then you have Tampa Bay sitting at 1-1. This is still, it's going to be a tight race the entire year. I'm not ready to rule out New Orleans yet. They have a banged-up secondary, too. Drew Brees is going to miss a few games, maybe one, maybe two. We're not sure. If that's the case, they're going to have to rely heavily on their running game, and that could be an issue against their upcoming schedule.
If they start 0-4 or 0-5...
then I'll be worried.
Yeah, then it's going to be really hard to come back and, you know, even finish 8-8.
Okay, and then the last team that we're going to talk about is your reigning NFC champions, the Seattle Seahawks. They don't seem to have anything going on defense. The offense seems like they're moving in the right direction. They have a lot of new pieces.
They have weapons on offense.
They do, and they have some new pieces. You know, you're talking about Jimmy Graham, some new offensive linemen, Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett's explosive. Jimmy Graham, we all know Jimmy Graham and how good he is. A guy that comes up big in big games, Doug Baldwin, always comes up big in these big name games against better teams.
I totally agree. He finds ways to make himself relevant in the offense.
He needs to find his way a way to make himself relevant in all games.
Exactly.
Because last week against St. Louis, where was he?
Nowhere. And if they don't have reliable targets every game, then that's really going to be an issue for Russell Wilson, and it's going to enable teams to play the run more than the pass. So, listen, San Fran is 1-1, St. Louis is 1-1, and Arizona is 2-0. This is another division that's always a tight race. The division's always very competitive. And, I mean, they're the Seattle Seahawks. They need to get Cam Chancellor on the field, okay? Kerry Williams is not cutting it. He got toasted again last week. If they don't have Cam on the field, it's a totally different defense, and mediocre offenses are exposing Richard Sherman. Not that Green Bay's mediocre, but, you know, busted plays, Richard Sherman's holding, defensive pass interference. He's getting torched. He got torched by Stedman Bailey from St. Louis. And St. Louis exposed him too. There should have been a pass interference call week one in the end zone, Tavon Austin against Richard Sherman, and Richard Sherman just totally didn't even look at the ball. Seattle's defense needs to figure out what's wrong and fix it now. Otherwise, it's going to haunt them later in the season when they're trying to make that playoff push. I think they still have a chance. How do you feel, Iron Mike?
I mean, it's tough to rule out the NFC champions, but I'm going to say you're fucking done, son. It's over, Seahawks fans. Arizona's going to run away.
You're calling it now?
I'm calling it now.
But you don't think that Seattle has a chance at a wild card?
Nah, I'm going to say it's over.
All right, well, listen, I'm going
to
pull up.
Cam Chancellor needs to get back on that field, and I don't see that.
I'm going to pull up the NFC standings right now, and you tell me what teams have a better chance of making the wild card than Seattle.
Go ahead.
So you're assuming that Arizona wins the division?
Yes.
Okay, Carolina.
I think they have a chance at winning a wild card.
A better chance than Seattle?
At this point, yeah. They're two games up on them.
Okay, so if Carolina wins the division, then Atlanta.
No, I think Atlanta wins that division.
Okay. Green Bay is going to win that division. Minnesota's 1-1.
I think Minnesota wins that division.
So then Green Bay would grab the wild card.
Yes.
And then the second wild card would go to Seattle.
There's two wild cards right there.
Okay.
You can go to the north, too. Where's the north? I mean, the west. We were just in the west. Okay. There you go. You know, like, there's plenty of teams out there that can, you know, top Seattle.
Okay, so you're saying Green Bay and Minnesota, or Green Bay's one wild card, and then Carolina would be the second?
Yeah.
Or Atlanta. Okay, so then who wins the East?
The Giants.
And then you don't think that anybody else from the East makes the playoffs?
No. I think that there's a good chance Dallas could finish the season 4-12.
Listen, if you're a fan of the Giants, the Eagles, or the Cowboys, I would say more specifically the Giants, I'd be worried because Iron Mike is a walking jinx. So if you see Iron Mike in the street, find a frozen bagel and hit him in the head with it.
I guarantee you last week that the Indianapolis Colts would never again get shut out in the first half of a ball game.
And what happened?
And they got shut out in the first half of a ball game.
Listen, don't feel so bad because I guarantee that the Rams would beat the Redskins, and we see how that went. Transitioning over to our locks of the week, let's talk about our week two picks and how we finished.
Week two finished as me going 7-9 and Matt going 8-8. Week two started on Thursday. We saw the Broncos beat the Chiefs. Matt picked the Chiefs, so he was wrong there. Carolina.
Let's not dwell too much on these previous games.
Carolina beat the Texans. Steelers demolished the 49ers.
We split that game. I picked Pittsburgh. He picked the Niners. We both lost with the Saints losing to the Bucks. We had a split on the Lions-Vikings, if I'm right.
Yeah, I picked the Vikings. You picked the Lions.
Right. We both took the Cardinals. We both took the Patriots. We both took the Bengals.
All three of those teams won.
We both took the Browns.
They won.
We both took the Falcons.
We both took the Falcons, and the Falcons won.
We both picked the Rams, and they lost. We both picked the Dolphins, and they lost. We both picked the Ravens, and they lost. Who else do we have? I think we split on Cowboys-Eagles. I had the Cowboys.
I picked the Eagles.
We split on the Seahawks-Packers. I had the Packers.
I had the Seahawks.
And we both picked the Colts, and they lost to the
and
Jets.
And they lost to the Jets.
So there you go. So we final standings for week two. Mike 7-9. I finished 8-8.
Which brings him one game up.
I am one game up going into week three. Let's run through these picks. Mike.
All right, Thursday night, we have the Washington Redskins at the New York Giants. Matt, who do you like?
Oh, God, that's such a terrible game. I'm going to take the Giants. I want to separate myself from you because I know you took the Redskins.
Which is why I'm going to hide my picks from this point on.
All right. Not much analysis there. It's going to be a tough game. It's an in-division game.
I just think Washington keeps it rolling from last week, and the Giants start 0-3 but still win the division.
I'm looking at some of these mailbag questions.
Next up is the Atlanta Falcons at the Dallas Cowboys.
Give me Atlanta. I think Dallas has too many question marks right now. They're missing their star quarterback. They're missing their star receiver. And Jason Witten has two sprained ankles and a sprained knee. He's listed as week to week. He might not play. If that's the case, then Brandon Whedon is going to rely heavily on the running game. They're going to stack guys in the box. I don't think Whedon has a chance in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Atlanta as well. I don't see the Dallas Cowboys piecing together a win for a few weeks.
Dallas is going to be in trouble.
Next Dallas game. Might finish 4-12.
Next game,
the Colts and the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee.
Give me Indy. Bounce back. I don't think Tennessee's that good of a team. They got exposed a little bit. The defense didn't look good. And I think Indy has to come out and make a statement game and show why they're going to run this division.
Yeah, I agree. I pick Indy as well. Next up is the Oakland Raiders at the Cleveland Browns.
Give me Oakland.
I'm going to go with an if bet here.
Listen, this is probably the shittiest thing that Iron Mike's ever done to me. He wants to do an if bet. So what that's going to be is if Josh McCown is the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, you are taking
the Oakland Raiders.
And if Johnny Manziel is the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, you are taking
the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. So if McCown is the quarterback, he picks the Raiders. If Manziel is the quarterback, he picks the Browns.
Just starting. I'm not going to try and trick you and say, oh, Manziel.
It doesn't matter. Next game.
Cincinnati at Baltimore Ravens.
Cincinnati at the Ravens. I think Baltimore still struggles a little bit. Cincinnati's look good. They're having questions with their running game, but I don't think that matters. I'm going to take Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bengals too.
All right. Thank God we didn't have to talk about Baltimore. Next game.
Next game is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the New England Patriots.
Next game.
Yeah, it's kind of one-sided there. Tell you what, we both ruled them out last week and they won.
I'll tell you who looked really good, and I might have to switch one of my winners. Allen Robinson
did look really good.
And he did it all in the first half. It wasn't garbage time. It wasn't anything like that.
My keeper league.
He was on my bench. Next game.
New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers.
This is a tough one for me. If Drew Brees isn't playing, which I don't think he's going to, I'm going to have to take Carolina.
Yeah, I'd take Carolina too, even if Drew Brees plays.
And that puts them in a...
That's not an if bet.
That puts them in a tie with Atlanta because we both picked Atlanta, correct?
Yep, they both start 3-0 in that division.
All right, next game.
Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets.
Who are you taking? Because I need time.
I'm taking the Jets, bro. I don't see the Eagles putting it together yet, especially against a good defense on the road.
Right, all right. So week one, who did Philly play?
Week one, Philly played Atlanta Monday night.
Okay, and week two, they played Dallas. Two subpar defenses. Now they're going against a team that has 10 takeaways through two games. If you know what, there's no chance. I don't see Philly winning. Sorry, Marcy. Give me the Jets. I hate doing that because I don't like picking the Jets. Next game.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Houston Texans.
I'm going to take Houston. I think Houston's front, the front seven is a little bit too much for Tampa Bay's offensive line. I think they find a way to score maybe even two J.J. Watt touchdowns this week.
That might happen, but I still think that Tampa Bay wins. I don't see Houston Texans getting a win until Arian Foster returns, and that's not going to be this week.
All right, next team.
Next up, we have the San Diego Superchargers at the Minnesota Vikings.
All right. I mean, Minnesota won. I still don't see it. If San Diego's playing from behind, I could see this being a very close game. Rivers might have to throw the ball over 40 times, and if they do that, then I could see them coming from behind and winning the game by 3 points. Give me San Diego.
I'm going to throw a stat at you real quick before I make my pick. In 7 home games last year, Teddy Bridgewater and the Minnesota Vikings won 6 of them, and they are 1-0 this year at home. That gives them a record of 7-8 in 8 home games with...
You mean 7-1?
Yeah, 7-1. Seven out of eight. Yeah, there you go. So I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings at home, going for their 8th win in 9 tries.
And it's not truly their home. They're playing at the University of Minnesota.
Either way, there's a lot Next of game. Viking fans there. Next game up is the Pittsburgh Steelers at your St. Louis Rams.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm going to take Pittsburgh, too. Their offense is just way too good.
St. Louis plays pretty good at home, but I think there's too much in Pittsburgh. And you have the return of Le'Veon Bell. Happy yeah. Le'Veon Bell week.
Yeah, which we'll touch upon later on in the show. Like Matt said, St. Louis plays good at home, but...
I don't see it being anything. Nah. Next game.
Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins.
I don't like the way Miami's offense has looked. Tannehill looks good, but I still think that they need to establish a running game to keep him, you know, more protected. I think the running game will help keep him more protected, because if there is no running game, then they could drop the guys. They could drop guys into coverage without having to worry about it. Buffalo still looks good, even though they took a loss to the Patriots last week. I still think that they looked good. Tyrod Taylor looked real good. I think, what did he have, 3 or 4 total touchdowns?
Yes, I believe so.
And I could see Buffalo playing that the type of game that they played against Miami, and that being good enough for a win. So I'm going to take Buffalo.
I'm also going to take Buffalo. I just don't see Miami playing well defensively again. They need to piece everything together over there with Ndamukong Suh and the secondary, and it's not going to happen this week. I'm going to take Buffalo.
Is that the Sunday night game?
No. Next up is the Chicago Bears traveling out west, going into, what's that, CenturyLink, Seattle Seahawks?
Yep.
It's a tough place to play. I'm picking the Seahawks.
Give me the Seahawks. Sunday night football, Denver at Detroit. Denver's defense is too good. Sorry for taking your job. Denver's defense is too good. Stafford was a little banged up. He doesn't expect to miss any time, but I don't see the Lions really doing anything defensively to make a difference in this game, and I think they're going to struggle to score some points. Give me Denver.
On paper, Denver's defense looks amazing. I'm still not sold on it because they played the Baltimore Ravens in week 1, who looked terrible offensively. Week 2, they played the Kansas City Chiefs on a short week Thursday night. I don't see anything spectacular in Kansas City, so I'm not buying into Denver's defense yet. But I'm still going to pick them. Sunday night football. The Lions just aren't putting it all together right now. They need to get the ball to Ameer Abdullah more often.
I agree with that. Abdullah needs to touch the ball 20 times a game, however they could do it. Final game of the night, of the week, Monday Night Football. Who is it?
Monday Night Football, you got the Kansas City Chiefs going up into Lambeau Field.
Okay, I am going to take the Packers. I picked Kansas City to win the division, but I don't think...
Did we miss a game?
I don't know, but I don't think Kansas City has what it takes. Yeah, we did miss a game. We'll go back to that in a second. I don't think Kansas City has what it takes. They didn't look too good against Denver last week. They were fumbling the ball. They were turning the ball over. Jamaal Charles had some issues handling the ball. And Green Bay looked really good against Seattle. I'm taking Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Packers as well. We missed a game. We're going to go back. San Fran traveling to Arizona. Hi, Jess.
Give me Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going to take Arizona too. They're going to start the season probably 7-0 this year.
Yeah, I see that being a high possibility. And that's going to do it for the week 3 picks.
My name,
Tom. All right, so we had a little bit of a technical issue. I thought I deleted the entire episode, but I didn't. All right, so we just finished the week 3 picks, and now we're going to jump into something we call winners and losers. We probably need a better name than that.
I mean, that's what it is.
I mean, you go from your fucking done, son, to winners and losers. All right, whatever. Mike, who's your first winner?
I like Blake Bortles as my first winner. Now they are 1-1 on the season. Everybody wrote them dead this week. Last year they had a rough start. I believe they started 1-10. So hopefully he can keep rolling with this. He had a home win. Keep it going.
Bortles looked good. He did. He was moving the ball around. A bunch of receivers, a bunch of guys had targets. I just think that the division's going to be tough for him.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be tough. They're not going to come anywhere near winning it.
But he did have a really good game this week.
He had a good game. He's a winner.
My first winner is Darrell Revis. He had an interception and 2 fumble recoveries, right?
Very good game, yep.
Awesome game. He's showing why he deserves that big money. He might not be the most shutdown corner in the league, but he's proving that he belongs in that upper echelon of cornerbacks.
No, he's the most shutdown corner in the league.
I think Vontae Davis is.
Well, Vontae Davis isn't playing. He's hurt.
When he's healthy, he's a problem.
Listen, how many passes were thrown to Revis Island last night?
Getting a little bit off subject here, but if you're talking about Vontae Davis's numbers, what did Vontae Davis hold Sammy Watkins to? 0.
Correct.
How
many targets did he have? Like, you know.
But they just didn't throw their way. But what did Watkins have this week?
Yeah, but that's because he wasn't in their game plan.
If you have to game plan around somebody, then it's a problem. I don't think you necessarily game plan around Revis, and Revis tends to stay to one side. He doesn't always shadow players.
Yes, but he shuts down 1/3 of the field.
Okay, who's your second winner? I'm done with this shit.
1/3 of the field.
I said I'm done with it.
That's 33%.
I think you're wrong. Go ahead.
My second winner.
33% of the world's covered by water. The other 2/3 are covered by Darrell Revis.
We'll stay in that game. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick going forward. This is big because Geno Smith should be returning in a few weeks and able to play, but I don't think that they give Geno a shot because the Jets are 2-0 right now, and I could see them starting 4-1, 3-1, and at that point, I don't think they give Geno Smith a chance.
Yeah, no. Until
he's won this job.
Until Fitzpatrick gives them a reason to take him out, he's going to be their guy moving forward. And he looks good. He's very rarely making mistakes.
He's a winner in my eyes.
And he's a smart guy. He went to Harvard. My week 2 winner, second winner, Christine Michael, Dallas Cowboys running back. Listen, can you pull up the stats for Cowboys rushing for the season so far? I don't think any Dallas Cowboys running back has done anything to solidify their role as a starter or a guy who's going to get a bulk of the carries, okay?
You're definitely right.
The only running back who's looked good, and when I say good, I mean like feasible, is Lance Dunbar, and he's their third down guy. He's doing.
Yeah, passing downs. Week 1, Randall didn't look that bad. Week 2, he didn't look terrible. He had 18 carries for 58 yards. But, you know, I think that as far as Darren McFadden's concerned, they're easing him into the offense.
Okay, listen. So here's some of the stats that I'm looking at.
Okay, that was fast.
Joe Randall's averaging 58 yards per game. Darren McFadden's averaging 23 yards per game. okay? Randle has a fumble lost. His longest run is 15 yards. McFadden's longest run is 9 yards. Randle has 34 attempts. McFadden has 16. Okay? Randle has 116 yards rushing. McFadden has 47. If you add the two of them together, they're a mid-tier running back. Okay? Take them apart, and they're both garbage. I think the less than stellar play from these two running backs is going to open the gates for Christine Michael to be able to come in and start chipping away at both of their carries. And if they're losing, and if they don't have Romo and they don't have Dez, why not see if this kid is worth the investment that they made, even though it wasn't a huge investment? Why not see if it's worth it? Why not see if you can make this kid into something and then long-term have him be your guy? Randle isn't the long-term answer, and he likes stealing shit. And McFadden definitely isn't the long-term answer.
With Michael being the fourth guy in the situation, in the picture here, I don't see anybody jumping out. I think that they just bounce it out and use all four guys.
But so let's just say next week they're playing against Atlanta, and Atlanta jumps out to, I don't know, theoretically a 35-0 lead going into the fourth quarter. You're not getting back into that game with Brandon Whedon. Why not put the ball in Christine Michael's hands and see what happens?
Because no team in the NFL is going to throw out the white flag unless there's 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They're going to keep Lance Dunbar on the field, and they're going to throw.
They're
not going to shut down
their passing game. Last 5 minutes of the game, you wouldn't give Christine Michael a shot?
Yeah, but
all the carries.
But what's 5 minutes of a game? That doesn't make him a
winner. All the carries in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left, that could be 15 carries.
No, not anymore. Maybe if Dez Bryant or Tony Romo were on the field, but
I think
that offense is going to have trouble picking up first downs.
They're 2-0, so you're right. They're not going to give up. But Romo's out for a few weeks. Dez is out 3/4 of the season.
8 weeks isn't a few weeks. Okay. 3 weeks.
All right,
is a
so
few
Romo's
weeks.
Out half the year. Dez is out 3/4 of the year. At what point, if they're losing, do they say, fuck what we're doing right now, we have to figure out something for the future?
I don't think that any one player gets a bulk of carries.
The mediocrity of this running game right now behind the best offensive line in football is the only reason I think Christine Michael is a winner this week. Who's your third winner? We got to kind of breeze through these.
My third winner is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They look good on both sides of the ball.
And they get Le'Veon Bell back this
week.
Yes,
that's where I was going with it. They're getting Le'Veon Bell back, and they're 1-1, not 2-0.
It could have been worse.
I more or less threw them in there thinking that they were 2-0, but I forgot that they played many moons ago against the New England Patriots.
So now here's the thing. If you're 1-1 and your offense looks as good as it does without Le'Veon Bell, how much better can it look with Le'Veon Bell? And I totally agree with you that they're winners for getting him back, but you also have to keep into account who's the leading rusher in the NFL right now. Do you know the answer to that?
Carlos Hyde.
Who's number two?
D'Angelo Williams.
Who, fantasy, in a fantasy perspective, who leads all players in fantasy scoring?
D'Angelo Williams.
There you go.
Thanks to the San Francisco 49ers.
Doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter.
This offense is only going to look better if you have a 32-year-old running back that's doing damage. And then you're going to get, and you're going to get 100%. Back. And you're going to get back. Arguably the best running back in the game.
Yes, and that's why I have them as my winners.
My third winner is Matt Jones.
Who?
Matt Jones.
Who?
Matt Jones.
Who?
Matt Jones. Don't do it again. Matt Jones is finding his way onto the field. Alfred Morris is still playing really good.
He's playing all right.
But Matt Jones is finding his way onto the field, and he's making an impact. I think he's the first player in NFL history to have a receiving, return, and rushing touchdown through his first two games of his career. He's finding his way onto the field. Washington knows he's a good player. They're finding ways to use him, and he's making the best of his time there. If Alf keeps playing well, he's not going to lose his job. But if Matt Jones keeps playing this way, then there's no way they can't not give him the ball or find ways to get him the ball.
I mean, it looks like overall Washington's just running the ball well.
Yeah, and
between Jones and Morris, Morris is averaging 4.2 carries yards per carry on the year. I mean, it's only two games.
Matt Jones is averaging 3.3, but it's on 18 attempts. So, I mean, that might not look as good.
No,
but,
this is Alf Week 2.
Oh, that's Alf Week 2.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go to Matt Jones for me. Like I said, if Washington wants to keep their offensive success up, they're going to find ways to work Matt Jones into this offense. And Matt Jones is averaging...
On the season.
6 yards per carry on 25 carries. So I think he has just maybe like 7 or 8 less carries than Alf. But he's dynamic.
18 by my count.
18 less carries. But listen, he's dynamic. They're going to keep putting the ball in his hands.
In week one, they ran the ball a lot with Alf.
Who is your week one loser?
The Dallas Cowboys. And if we continue this segment, they're going to be my losers every week. They might finish 4-12.
Until they get their guys back, the Cowboys are going to struggle. My week one loser, St. Louis offense, or week two loser, St. Louis offense, they struggled a lot against Washington. They couldn't run the ball. Foles, I think, had 150 passing yards for the entire game. I know a lot of it was clock management and time of possession, but they struggled through and through. They didn't find ways to work the ball around, and that's going to be an issue, especially going into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's D is not necessarily the best defense in the league, but if they can't get shit together, then they're going to get lit up.
My week two loser, another one, is T.Y. Hilton. The Colts, I believe they kind of rushed him back.
I think it was on him more than on them.
Either way, he's a loser. Don't rush onto the field when you're
with
an injury.
The thing with a knee bruise is you're gonna feel good, which means you're gonna get onto the field, and until you take a hit or put pressure on it in a game situation, you're not gonna know how it feels. So he probably felt good all the way up through game day, warmed up, felt good, but then late in the game he re-aggravated the injury.
Yeah, the only way to get open on Revis Island is to go in motion and get off of Revis Island, which he did. He was running across the field, stiff-armed the shit out of Darrell Revis, and then tried juking out Antonio Cromartie and hurt his knee.
All right, so my second week two loser is DeMarco Murray. And I don't necessarily want to call him as much of a loser as I want to say that the entire run game is struggling. I think it's more of the offensive line's fault than DeMarco Murray's fault, because DeMarco Murray's having to break a tackle before he even gets past the line of scrimmage. I saw a stat that said he led the league in yards per rush after tackles behind the line of scrimmage, which, first of all, should that even be a stat?
No.
The fact that they're keeping track of it shows you how bad their offense is. And like we were talking about earlier, Chip Kelly lets Todd Herrmann's who's the other guy? The other, Evan Mathis, he lets them both walk and doesn't do anything to replace them on the offensive line. So, I mean, I'm saying DeMarco Murray's in trouble. I'm not saying he's necessarily the loser, but DeMarco Murray's in trouble. They need to figure out a way to get him the ball and get him the ball without him being tackled in the backfield. Plain and simple. Mike, who's your week three loser?
Rex Ryan. This guy's like me. He opens his mouth and it gets shut real quick. You know, he went in saying that he was going to take care of Tom Brady and the Patriots, and he didn't.
Didn't he say something about having to put King Kong on Gronk or three guys on Gronk?
Well, yeah, that's just, you know, that was just him playing around. You obviously can't stop Rob Gronkowski.
Listen, Lil Peppa likes running his mouth, and Lil Peppa got his mouth shut.
Yeah, he did.
My last loser is the Indianapolis defense, and the reason I'm saying that is because they were already a depleted secondary, and then they lose Vontae Davis to concussion. He's got to go through the protocol, and, I mean, you can't guarantee that he's going to be cleared to play next week. Without him, they look awful. And even with them, I mean, even with him in the game, they were still working the ball the opposite side of the field. They have a bunch of practice squad guys out there.
Well, you know what? It's tough to have success on defense when the offense is turning the ball over as much as the Indianapolis offense has the first 2 weeks.
Totally agreed. And they have to stay – the offense has to stay on the field, and they can't – like Iron Mike said, you can't turn the ball over that many times and expect to be competitive in the game. So that's going to do it for our week two. Week two winners and losers. Any games you specifically want to talk about for week three?
I mean,
anything that catches your eye right off the bat?
That catches my eye right off the bat is Cincinnati and Baltimore. We both like Cincinnati, but if Baltimore doesn't win, they're going to have a tough time making a comeback towards that division.
I think the Jets-Philly is going to be an interesting game because you're going to want to see how the Philly offense answers back after underperforming, and they're finally facing a really good defense. So it's going to be interesting there. I like the Arizona-San Fran matchup, although I think San Fran gets demolished.
Arizona was kind of rubbing it in there towards the end of the game, no? They were already up 40-something to whatever, and they threw a pass to Larry Fitzgerald for a touchdown.
Yeah,
they went for it on fourth down on their last drive.
I think they were having trouble with their special teams and with their running offense, which is why they were doing shit like that. Or they were just trying to rub it in. I think Buffalo-Miami is another interesting matchup, and I like the Kansas City-Green Bay Monday night game.
Yeah, if Miami doesn't show up this week, there's going to be problems because New England could start 3-0 this week.
All right, so I think we have a few questions from the mailbag. You want to try to hit these up real quick?
Yeah, we can hit them up real quick.
We'll do a little fan duel because we're feeling better than we did in week one.
Why don't you answer the first question?
What was the first question?
How can I listen, Matt?
The easiest way to listen is to go to ontheclockpodcast.com, which will give you a link. And if you're linking from your phone, it'll take you directly to iTunes or Stitcher. And if you're listening from your PC or your iPad or your Mac, it actually has a live link there where you can listen to it directly on the website. Also, you can follow us on Facebook at You're on the Clock. If you search us, we have a fan page, and we're on Twitter at On the Clock Podcast. Correct? That's correct. Okay. Also, Steve from New Jersey wants to know who could be a big fantasy bust this year. I think a lot of these are more geared towards fantasy. So if you want to fast forward and not listen to fantasy questions, go ahead.
Yeah, kinda.
If you had to pick one to be a big bust. One player.
Going forward or so far?
Going forward.
Oh, going forward. I'm gonna say it's DeMarco Murray.
I could see that, but I think he bounces back a little bit. I think they're gonna try to use
definitely
him
not this week.
I think they're gonna try to use him a little bit more in the passing game. And I think for where he was getting drafted, I don't think he's as big of a bust as my bust, which is CJ Anderson.
See, now if you look at average draft position, he was being drafted later second, early third, but he went late first, early second in a lot of my leagues.
Yes, I saw that too. I think it's just depending on the league you're playing in because some leagues running backs go real early. In some leagues it's a mixture. Some quarterbacks go early and that pushes some guys back. But CJ Anderson was a first round pick in every league, and he is not playing well. If you have him on your team, you want Ronnie Hillman, but Ronnie Hillman's not playing well either.
No.
The running game is struggling. They have to figure out how to get the kinks out of it. So there's two of our picks for biggest busts moving forward. Next question is from Frank Romeo, who you can hear on the Dork Discussion podcast. That's a podcast that I've worked with closely. There should be a new episode with me coming out soon. Frank wants to know, is DeMarco Murray going to get it rolling? 2 week fantasy bust so far.
As far as week three, no. He's playing the Jets. As far as the rest of the season, no. The offense looks terrible.
So Mike thinks that based on where he was getting drafted, he's going to be the bust of the year.
Well, he's just asking if he's going to get it rolling, and I don't see it happening when after 2 weeks you still aren't getting anywhere. How many total rushing yards does the guy have? And a lot of that has to do with his offensive line. It's not all with DeMarco Murray. He's a very talented guy, but that offense is just terrible right now.
We want to make all the fans happy, but I have no idea what this question means. Anthony DeCanto of DeCanto's Best Veggie Burgers. Make sure you go try them out. They're really good. He wants ShopRite. To know. Yes, you can get them at ShopRite, Whole Foods, or DeCantosBest.com. he wants to know, if Gronk got bit by the spider that created Spider-Man, what exactly would happen?
I'm going to say that Gronk would no longer have to jump up and catch touchdowns. He could just shoot webs and bring them all in, which would make him by far the most dominant tight end in the league. Probably the best player in the league.
He already is.
yeah, if you look at, you know, comparison towards position, you know, he's definitely the best.
Well, all right, so I'll put it to you this way. If Gronk is the best tight end, who's the second best tight end? Right now, I would say Travis Kelce, Greg Olsen.
I mean, I'm still going to go, you haven't seen it yet, but I'm still going to go Jimmy Graham. They just need to figure out how to work him
okay,
into that offense.
But how big of a gap is there between them?
The gap is huge.
Okay, so now who's
the second most dominant
player, regardless of position in the NFL, aside from Gronk?
Probably Antonio Brown and then Julio Jones.
Right, like, but they're neck and
guys,
neck.
Like, those three guys are untouchable. You know, top tier,
But Julio Jones and Antonio Brown are neck and neck. Like, they're 1A, 1B, and then below them would be right now Odell Beckham?
No. No.
Who's third? It's Odell. It's got to be Beckham.
Demaryius Thomas.
Based on what's been on the field in 2 weeks.
Demaryius Thomas.
I don't think so.
I still think Demaryius Thomas is better than Odell.
Here's the point I'm trying to make. Look at the gap between Gronk and Graham. And then if you're saying Antonio Brown is the best, look how close behind Julio Jones is. Okay? I think, in my opinion, the top three most dominant players in the NFL right now are Gronk, Antonio Brown, and J.J. Watt. Okay? But now, if you look at J.J. Watt, who's the next best defensive lineman behind J.J. Watt?
I mean, defensive lineman or defensive player?
Defensive end.
I mean, Justin Houston, coming off of that end, he's got, what, four sacks already?
But it's very close. Gronk's gap is so much bigger than any other position from 1 to 2 that I would consider him the most dominant player in the league right now.
And there's no disagreeing there.
I'm just making for good radio.
I'm disagreeing with you saying Odell Beckham is good. He got shut down week one.
The next question comes from Johnny Howell, who wants to know who's going to dominate in the AFC West.
Denver Broncos.
He wants me to say the Chiefs, so I'm going to say the Chiefs.
Well, you picked the Chiefs to win that division.
Exactly.
I don't think they're going to dominate, though, the Chiefs. Do they have a chance? Yeah. But you saw it Thursday night. It was a little bit of fluky because of the last, you know, the way the game ended, but the Broncos, they're going to figure it all out, and they're going to dominate that division.
Last question comes from longtime Eagles fan Marcy. She wants to know, why did Chip Kelly's system work in the first two seasons and now it's dead in the water seemingly?
I don't know if you listen to the podcast or not, but
she listens. She texts does. Me
all right,
she
listens
to it.
We already answered that question. You know, you won't know it until Thursday or Friday when you listen, but it worked because he still had older guys, Andy Reid's guys, and it was a good system. But now he's bringing in his own guys. He's trying to get cute.
Don't hit the table.
He's trying to get cute, and it's not working.
Now, in last week's episode, we talked about Sam Bradford's struggle. We didn't talk about the entire offensive struggle, but we did address that earlier. And I think it has to do with the fact that he wants his own guys in, and they're not good. They're not maybe not the best pros. He let, like we said, Harriman's and Mathis walk, and they...
Mathis or Kelce?
Kelsey's still there.
Okay.
But Mathis and Harriman's might very well have been the reason why the offense looked so good last year. They're really the only pieces missing aside from Jeremy Maclin, and Maclin's not affecting the running game.
Let me ask you something. When you run side to side, east and west, like that
you
offense
can't
does.
Do that in the NFL.
You can if you have good guards, and
right,
they don't.
Because you have to pull your guards.
They don't.
Listen, I could go to the Keyport-Kingsburg alumni game, which I'm playing in July, and find any two schmucks that are playing offensive guard and put them on the Philly on Philly's roster, and they'll look better than whoever. I don't even know who's playing guard.
How come I didn't get an invite to that game?
Because you can't walk. All right, so that's going to do it for the mailbag. Thanks, everybody.
Whoa, Matt Barella, Jets, best defense in the league.
That's not a question. That's a statement with two emojis.
Yeah, but those could be easily mistaken for question marks.
Matty Beats, we love you, but that wasn't a question.
They are the best defense in the league right now.
So listen, we want more mailbag. If you guys, like we said, send it to us during the week. If you have a question you want answered, send it to us during the week.
Yeah, we're obviously going to ask every Tuesday. But
if we could pocket some questions for the podcast, we'll do that. But at the same time, if you guys have, Steven and Frank asked, fantasy football questions, if it's something that needs to be answered right away, we'll answer it right away. So you could leave the questions on the Facebook page, which is You're on the Clock. Or, tweet at us. I'm underscore Matt underscore Geiger. And we can't ever really seem to get Iron Mike shit right.
I know it.
And then the podcast's Twitter is On the Clock Podcast. And Mike's logging in right now. This is scandalous.
I told you, it was two underscores.
It's Iron underscore Mike underscore NJ. So if you want any of the questions answered, you can hit us up on all formats.
Yeah, I'm always on Twitter looking at other people's football advice. And, if you have a question, hit me up. I'll answer it right away.
All
right,
so
I'm home doing nothing all day.
We have a little – yeah, Mike's out of work for a little bit, so he'll answer any questions you guys have. We have a little bit of time left, and after our huge week one daily fantasy debacle, me and Mike are both on the board. High five. We're both on the board. Mike, how much did you win this week?
I won $17 off of a free entry that carried over from week one. DraftKings gave me a free entry week one. I turned it into a $3 ticket, and then my $3 ticket for week two, I turned into some money, $17.
Iron Mike cashed on DraftKings?
DraftKings. I finished in the top 5,000 out of 383,000 plus.
And I myself won $20 in a double up. I also believe I won an entry to a $100,000 free roll by finishing in the top X percent of whatever it was. We both did pretty good as compared to week one, where we both were fucking awful. But we're going to take a look at some stuff right now. Guys to target, guys to try to avoid, things like that. Listen, I'm going to come flat out and say it. I think Antonio Brown is going to be in my lineup every week, regardless of how expensive he is.
Oh, absolutely. I've been able to put Antonio Brown. Actually, I've had Julio Jones in both of my lineups so far this year. This week, I squeezed Antonio Brown in. I made a mistake at running back with Amir Abdullah. But if you can find a way to get Antonio Brown into your lineup, definitely do it. This week, he's playing St. Louis on the turf, which usually makes players a little bit faster. I didn't think it was possible to get faster, but it might be this week on FanDuel. He is $9,300. It will be well worth it. They throw the ball a lot.
I'm looking at quarterback prices, and I don't see a lot of value this week. I might roll the dice on Derek Carr. He's going for $6,600. He's playing Cleveland. If they're in a similar situation that they were in against Baltimore, then they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. So for $6,600, he's a good value. Other guys with good value, Bridgewater against San Diego is $6,800. Tyrod Taylor, $7,000.
Jameis Winston, $5,400 on DraftKings. What's he at on FanDuel? Yeah, it's a good matchup.
Winston, $6,500 on FanDuel. So I'm gonna leave Derek Carr in and see what we can build
around
that.
Winston can make some plays with his feet. We saw it last weekend. He ran one in.
This is true. Yeah, he didn't run one in. He walked one in.
Yeah, he's not the most mobile guy, quick on the feet, but he could still do it.
I think I'm going to go for some long shots at running back this week.
That seems to be the... I don't remember week one, but I know week two, you had guys like Deion Lewis and D'Angelo Williams leading the way at running back. with two monster games.
I love Danny Woodhead in DraftKings format because it's a full point PPR. FanDuel is a half point PPR, but he's 6,400 and he's averaging 16.8 fantasy points per game.
If Carlos Hyde finds his way onto the field this week, if he passes concussion protocol testing, Carlos Hyde is a good play. What's his cost? What's his value on FanDuel?
Carlos Hyde on FanDuel is going for 7,800.
It's a little pricey.
It's a little too much for me because I like to stack receivers.
It's too much to risk with the concussions. If you're looking for an explosive sleeper play, you can go with DMC, Darren McFadden.
I don't like it.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
Or Duke Johnson. Playing the Oakland Raiders.
Duke Johnson's not a bad pick.
If you're looking for some catches, Lance Dunbar could get involved if Atlanta opens up on top. Nah, I don't like Alfred Blue. He's terrible. Alfred Blue's
I'm just trying
bad.
To find some value here so I could save some money. I might go David Johnson for 6,000 against San Fran.
Wide receiver, Kenny Britt. The Pittsburgh Steelers have had a tough time covering receivers.
I would roll the dice on Tavon Austin or Stedman Bailey before Kenny Britt.
I wouldn't.
I'm taking Gronk against Jacksonville.
Gronk is definitely, you know, if you can squeeze him into your lineup. The only thing that concerns me is them pulling away early in this game and their starters not playing that much. You know, they have some depth at tight end now. They have
now,
Scott Chandler.
One of my favorite things to do is to play this game where I find the cheapest kicker and take him. For me this week, I'm taking Kyle Brinza, who is the rookie kicker for the Bucks against Houston.
And for me, I don't play on FanDuel anymore because you have to pick a kicker. DraftKings gives you the opportunity to throw in a flex. So you can start four wide receivers if you want on DraftKings, which is what I've done the last 2 weeks, and it's working for me. This is the most success I've had on daily fantasy in the 3 years I'm playing it.
Denver Broncos defense is going for 4,600. They're playing Detroit. I think they could force a bunch of turnovers, so I like that pick there. I have two wide receiver spots left. I have $14,200 remaining. So,
according to the numbers and the stats this week, Julio Jones has a tough matchup. But I don't think that Dallas offense stays on the field enough to make that come true. I think that Dallas's defense gets tired from constantly being on the field this weekend.
How about this for a stack?
Antonio Brown, both of them are worth the money. Demaryius Thomas, he's going to be worth the $8,000 on DraftKings. All these big-name guys, if you can find a way to squeeze two out of three of those guys into your lineup, it's going to be great.
So I switched mine up a little bit. I'm going to go for this crazy stack that I have right now, which is Brady, Edelman, and Gronk, and then I also have Antonio Brown, which means I'm going to have to change one of my running backs.
If you feel more comfortable spending the big money on running backs rather than wide receivers for whatever reason, good plays this week will be Adrian Peterson. He's been racking up the yardage, total yardage. He just can't find it a way into the end zone. Last week he had one touchdown called back. It was reviewed, I believe. Another good play is Le'Veon Bell. He's gonna make some plays. The only thing that makes me nervous there is playing time. They might ease him into the offense. Jamal Charles is another good play. They'll probably be trailing there, and he'll catch a few balls.
I have a 4,700 left, so this is just a shot in the dark receiver. How do you feel about Stedman Bailey?
Nope.
Eddie Royal?
No. Eddie Royal's been week one. He saw a lot of
targets. But he's also playing Seattle, so.
All of his catches have been for minimal yards. I think last week he finished with like seven catches for 25 yards. And yeah, it's great that you get the points for the catches, but the yards and the touchdowns just aren't adding up. Plus, about, I think Alshon Jeffrey plays this week.
How about Chris Owusu?
No.
Marquise Lee.
I think you're better off with going for maybe an Allen Hurns.
I can't afford him.
No.
To me, it's either Marquise Lee or Stedman Bailey. It's literally a shot. In a tournament play, you have to have shot-in-the-dark guys, which is why my running backs are Woodhead and Damian Williams right now.
Yeah, tournament plays, you have to try and think outside the box and pick up some guys that a lot of people aren't going to grab.
And if I could pull off this stack with Brady, Edelman, and Gronk, you know, I'm putting myself in position where if their offense produces, then I'm putting myself, you know, at least above half of the people.
It looks good in a head-to-head, but in a tournament, I wouldn't stack Patriots because of the chance that they, you know, go out on top and then they don't play at all.
Mike, they were ahead of Buffalo the entire game last week.
Yes, but it's
and
a
they
division,
kept throwing the ball.
But it's a division game. That, they listen, know that I'm they're going to have that. To. It came down to the last drive.
I like the way this looks.
It came down to the last drive in that game. They knew Buffalo was going to come back.
What looks like is going to be my locked-in lineup. I'm not going to lock it in right now. It is subject to change, but I think it's going to be Tom Brady, Danny Woodhead, Damian Williams, Antonio Brown, Julian Edelman, Stedman Bailey, Gronkowski, Kyle Brinza, and Denver's D. I think this stack looks the best on paper right now. I could change it and roll from Brady to Roethlisberger. But, you know, the matchup against St. Louis scares me a little bit more than Tom Brady's matchup against Jacksonville. Anything else to say, Iron Mike?
No. Justin Forsett hasn't been rolling yet. But Cincinnati's had a tough time defending running backs so far this year. So he could be a sneaky play. A lot of people have given up on him.
Guys I don't like this week, running backs. I don't like Amir Abdullah until you see him start really carrying the ball or taking on a bigger role. I don't like him. Don't like DeMarco Murray against New York Jets. Le'Veon Bell might be interesting in his first game back against St. Louis, but he's the second most expensive running back.
Don't spend your money on Jeremy Hill this week.
Don't take a chance on Marshawn Lynch either. He hasn't played very well. It could be a bounce back game, but you know, are you going to take that chance when you have money on the line?
No.
Eddie Lacy's questionable, so I'm not huge on him. I don't like C.J. Anderson. He hasn't shown us anything yet. Receivers.
It's week two was very wacky.
Obviously, you're not playing Dez Bryant.
You saw a lot of guys come out of nowhere in week two.
I would stray away from all Chicago players, maybe besides Matt Forte.
I'd stay away from Matt Forte too.
I like the matchups that Calvin Johnson and Emmanuel Sanders have. Although I probably like Sanders and Demaryius Thomas's matchups a little bit better. I think DeAndre Hopkins could have a big game. I'm not real high on Randall Cobb, although Kansas City has given up the most points to fantasy receivers. So keep that in mind. I hate Jordan Matthews this week. And, I mean, tight ends.
Keenan Allen, after a big week one, was nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found. Tight ends, I don't really – listen, unless you're taking Gronk, then you want to find a bargain. So
yeah, I think I'm gonna try and find a way to get Gronk into my lineup.
Listen,
this
I took
week.
And the reason I lost in DraftKings this week is because I took Darren Fells as my tight end, thinking that maybe he might find the end zone, and I wound up goose egging that, which is probably a big reason why I didn't cash in DraftKings this
that's
week.
That's not gonna work.
Ooh. All right, so I mean, that's pretty much it. Like we've been saying all you know, all podcast. If you guys have any fantasy questions, you could shoot them directly to us or leave them on the Twitter page or the Facebook page. Mike, you want to put your foot in your mouth again and make a lock this week?
No.
All right. I'm going to say New England wins.
New England's a lock.
New England wins by at least 14 points.
The way New England's playing and the way they're throwing the ball right now, they could go 16-0.
It's very possible.
It's possible.
It's very possible.
It looks like they're saying, you know, fuck you, NFL. We're just going to dominate this league.
Absolutely. Right now. And I mean, they haven't even really tried to run the ball. Listen, that's going to do it for us here at the On the Clock podcast, a.k.a. the D-Generation X of football podcast. My name is Matt Geiger. And on behalf of my co-host, Iron Mike, we want to say thanks for tuning in on Ignotainment Media Network. We'll see you next week. Thanks again for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. For Iron Mike, my name is Matt Geiger, and you are now off the clock with the You're on the Clock podcast on the Ignotainment Media Network. And make sure you go to ignotainment.com and listen to the awesome lineup of podcasts they have. They have the Let's Get It On podcast with UFC ref Big John McCarthy. They have the Youth Baseball Talk podcast. Really, really good stuff on that. They have the Cannabis Logics. They have the Spinal Tap podcast. A bunch of cool stuff. They have the Ocho Man, who gives you the Behind the Eight Ball podcast. He goes in depth on some betting strategies, what games to bet, stuff like that. They have the Whiskey Philosopher. Once again, it's a lot of great stuff. You got to make sure that you're tuning in to Ignotainment Media Network. And thanks again for listening.
You're on the clock with Matt Geiger, only on Ignotainment Media Network. Download the show and link to our social media accounts at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire Ignotainment podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man, Behind the Eight Ball, and more at ignotainment.com.